Welcome to the Corona Chronicles. Thanks for tuning in for another day. We've got a guest with us today, and some of you may know him only as the Taskmaster. If you've been watching from Cornerstone Church, but this is Rory, one of our members. It's great to have him with us on the Corona Chronicles, and a good time to join. We're going to be jumping into chapter 18 today, and just reading the first three verses. And you might remember if you watched yesterday, we were thinking about these evil forces, Babylon and the beast, and although they presented a unified front, actually in the end, because they're fundamentally selfish and opposed to God, they end up ripping each other to pieces, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. Only God and his people are the unified ones to the end. And we're really going to circle back and look at a bit more about Babylon's future now. So this is chapter 18. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons and a haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable animal. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. The kings of the earth committed adultery with her, and the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries." So here we are thinking about the fall of Babylon again, and what strikes you about it, mate? What do you reckon?
I mean, it's quite a stark sort of condemning of Babylon the Great, right? Mm. Fallen is Babylon the Great, and I sort of get this picture when I read that. You know, of like a city that's sort of experienced great violence or great sort of war or bombing or something like that. You always sort of after the aftermath is always sort of a desolate, broken place, and you've got rocks and rubble all over the place, and there's birds scavenging for things and that, wild animals looking for things, and it feels like that this once great city, this once great nation, as good as it once was, now is just totally desolate. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and it's amazing that those, you're right, those old war-torn cities, because you see some buildings there that you know at one time, you can even see it in old photos, looked extremely grand. Mm. And who would have been hanging out there? Well, only the most senior politicians and military generals and important people. And yet now, you pay 10 quid as a tourist and you go and look around it. It's a haunt, isn't it? A shadow of what it once was. And Babylon has become like a haunted house. Everything that is unclean. I mean, that's really repeated here, isn't it? A haunt for every impure spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every detestable animal. Basically, all that is shameful and unclean and against God has now made its home in this once prosperous place. And, in verse 3, we're told why that's the future. Mm. For all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries, and that's what she does, isn't it? And that's what Babylon was famous for, seducing kings and people away from God.
Yeah.
And the wine is maddening, because there is a madness in sin, isn't there?
Mm.
That's the thing about sin. It's not just making the wrong choices. The fact that we would ever turn away from God is a madness, isn't it? That we would think we know better than our Creator.
With that as well, like, it is a madness, but because it's wine, there's that addictive wanting to go more and more and more. And I think this is what happens. Great nations, they think they're so good, they think they're great, they're so proud in who they are, and they think they can do whatever they want, and they indulge, and they feel untouchable because I guess that's what wine does to you. You feel like you could do anything in the world. Mm. But actually, that will always come to your ruin. Mm. The addictions of wine, even just an alcoholic, they feel invincible, But actually, often that comes to their ruin. You think about those young men who climb up buildings because they're drunk and jump because they can do anything. Well, yeah,
it's madness.
Well, yeah. The maddening wine of the people that drink of the, you know, Babylon the Greats. Well, yeah. That will come to their ruin, and the hauntedness of it all shows that ruin.
Yeah, it does, and we picked up on this before, but the phrase adultery, which keeps being repeated in the same sentence as Babylon. Mm. If people aren't familiar with the Bible story, that might be weird. It's like, why is it going on about adultery constantly? But it's kind of one of the most horrible descriptions of sin, isn't it? There's a betrayal of your lover, your creator, and you trade him in for a wildly inferior lover, a different God, a different way of living. And adultery, because it's so hurtful to break the covenant promise, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what that's all about. And you know, I think as we've sort of touched on before, this helps us in our day, doesn't it? And to keep a proper perspective. And we've been reflecting on how this coronavirus has, one of the things it's done is begun to show that our institutions, which look impenetrable most of the time, actually all it takes is one fish market. In the middle of China, something happens, an animal is handled, and the world is beginning to come down. You know, the people I was hearing on the radio this morning, the Bank of England, I think it was, are saying that, you know, this is the worst financial for hundreds of years by a little virus that you can't even see with the naked eye. And so that reminds us, let's just be careful before we think this is the secure place to trust, you know.
And we've seen that pattern throughout history, that these sort of great nations and these great empires come up and they think that they're going to last forever, and then suddenly they're gone. We could talk about Alexander the Great, who dies by a very simple thing, or the Roman Empire looked like it was going to last forever, but didn't last forever; it collapsed. Mm. You think about even the Nazis with Hitler, and this was meant to be the 1,000-year. Nation or empire, and in 13 years Hitler's committed suicide and it's no more. Or even communism only lasts for 70 years in Russia. So all these nations always collapse, and it's the same for the ones that are going on now. And so our Western civilization, our Western cultures think they're invincible, and this coronavirus is saying, no, you're not, and actually this will collapse like all others. And I think it's all just a pointing towards the final days. They're all just a shadow, a pointer towards the day when all nations and empires will be no more, and they will come to be judged for God's kingdom to be made apparent.
And as Christians, if we don't learn from that, you know, we're fools, aren't we? It's why the great hymn, you know, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You know, that's what this is trying to show, isn't it? And in tomorrow's episode, we're going to have a think about what specifically the church are called to do in light of what's going to happen to Babylon.